Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America, website thisweekinamerica.us. Thank you for being with us on the program. On today's program, This Week in America, trusted advice and help you can use from nationally recognized licensed clinical psychotherapist, Dr. Leslie Beth Wish. She's been honored for her pioneering work in love, career, happiness, and success. Known for her solid, practical, trusted advice that has worked for the thousands of women, couples, and men that she has counseled, Dr. Wish has been named by the National Association of Social Workers on their list of 50 who have contributed to the profession. She's the founder of LoveVictory.com and co-founder of the Counseling Network for the Special Operations Warrior Foundation, author of several research-based self-help books, Smart Relationships, How Successful Women Can Find True Love, and The Love Adventures of Almost Smart Cookie. Currently working on a new book on empowering you to trust your intuition with colleague Dr. Carol Morgan. Dr. Leslie Beth Wish back with us on This Week in America to help us deal with stress, something we all seem to struggle with solid, practical, and trusted advice that has worked for thousands. Dr. Wish, welcome back to the program. Great to have you with us once again.
Thank you so much. I love being on your show.
It is always a pleasure. We always learn something, and the time always goes by way too quickly, which I'm sure it will today, especially with a subject like this, stress. That really is something that we all deal with on a daily basis, isn't it?
You have to have stress to get through the day. You know, there is such a thing as good stress. Stress is good for, well, like right now, my stress is just slightly elevated to keep me more alert. You need that elevation of alertness when you're driving in the car, right? So you don't want to do away with stress. It comes in very handy.
Well, how can we channel that? Because as I'm reading some of the blogs that you've written, some of the newsletters you've written on stress, you emphasize that stress, if we use it properly, can actually help our performance. Talk about how we turn that stress, that anxiety that can be a negative, into something positive.
Yes, what anxiety does is it makes people worry. And worry has a whole life of its own. It makes you feel and believe that the more you worry about something turning out badly, then you'll have greater control over it. So what I call that, I'm going to get a prop, just hang on. And for those of you who are only listening, I'm holding up a unicorn. So this unicorn, as you know, is a mythic animal. It doesn't exist, at least as far as we know. So the belief system is, if I just worry harder, longer, you know, come up with all kinds of ways to worry and worry and not be able to get it out of my mind, I will get control over whatever is making me feel anxious or stressed. And that's about as useful as looking for a unicorn. But that's what people do, right? We all have gotten there before, the hand wringing and being so worried that something's not going to work out. So that becomes one of your first signs that your stress level is not only too high, but you've lost control over it rather than gain control.
By the way, you can see our program on YouTube. If you go to the website thisweekinamerica.us and click on videos in the YouTube icon, you can watch our program with Dr. Wish and all of our guests. Past programs there as well, so you can watch, you can listen by going to iTunes as well as, of course, picking them up on the radio. It's interesting because so many people feel like I've got to try to eliminate the stress. And I think what you're saying is that's really not going to work. We need to figure out how to manage that stress.
Yes. And the first thing to do is take a look at the signs that you are stressed. I can't possibly list every sign that people have gone through, but the first one I already mentioned, which is constant worrying. But one of the other major ones, and I'm holding up another prop for those of you who can't see this, I'm holding up a turtle, procrastinating, taking longer to do something you don't want to do. And that can range from paying the bills to calling someone you need to call, sitting down with your children, getting on a work project. It doesn't matter what it is, but it's something that makes you feel stressed and anxious enough that your work level and your success level in approaching it gets really, really slow. So those are two major signs. Some other ones are believing I'm going to hold up another prop. I'm holding up a fake grenade. Don't worry, it's
okay.
fake. that if you don't worry or if you don't solve the problem right this second, the worst thing in your life is going to happen to you. Things are going to blow up. Now, sometimes there are emergencies, true emergencies, where someone's, you know, fallen or ill, or you've got to go right away to the hospital. But everyday life usually doesn't consist of things that will blow up. And that includes having a late fee on your credit card bill. Those things can always be managed. But what happens to worriers and people who are prone to getting anxious, things blow up really, really quickly. So those are some of the other signs. Other things to look for is you get snippy. You know, you just can't handle any change, any disagreement. You fire back, you bark at your partner, your kids. It's like everything is on an elevated level. And that really has a brain component to it. All your stress hormones, your cortisol, all that stuff gets really, really elevated. And that makes you get even more anxious. It's almost like your flight or fight button is way tuned up. So those are some of the key signs to look at.
You're listening to This Week in America. Dr. Leslie Beth Wish back with us on the program. Her website is very simple, lovevictory.com. A lot of great information available at the website. Do genetics play a role in stress?
Of course, genetics seems to play a role in a lot of things.
Yes.
But it doesn't mean that because you're genetically prone not to be stressed, that it means you handle all stress very well, because some things are more stressful than others, like health issues. But it also doesn't mean that if you are prone to getting anxious, that you're doomed, that you can't take charge of it. So it's kind of good to say to yourself, this is my nature. I tend to get stressed. But that doesn't mean I should just say, well, that's how I am and I can't do anything about it.
You know, at one point in one of the articles I read, you were talking about keeping a diary to sort of figure out what your triggers are, what it is that causes you to, to really max out on that stress level. How important is that? And you said it doesn't have to be anything elaborate. This is not a novel that you're going to self-publish. This is just basically, you know, notes for you to go back and to refer to. So, you know, like, okay, I remember I did this one time before and I know how I how I got out of this. Talk about how important that diary is and how you can use that effectively.
Well, this is how you take charge of your life. Remember, the goal here is not to get rid of stress, but it's to reduce overreactions. You know, one of the number one stressors is public speaking. I mean, that's a major problem for many people. So that might be a problem if you have to go to work and give a presentation. You know, maybe you need to put that on your stress list. Other things that stress people out is maybe getting lost. People don't like to drive all the time to places they haven't been. You know, think of your everyday life. What gets you stressed out? And just jot it down. You can even keep a list by every telephone that you, you know, go to, like in your bedroom or your office. Make a list so that you can get better informed.
Dr. Leslie Beth Wish, our guest in the program, website lovevictory.com. Of course, you can go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly to Dr. Wish's website. I want to talk about relationships and do that in a second. But before that, it's interesting. You talk about going to the phone. What role does technology play in stress? For some of us, we are so attached to the phone and the technology, we can't really seem to break away to enjoy life.
You know, the internet and caller ID can cause so much stress. Getting an email from someone you don't want to answer. Getting a caller ID and you'd recognize the phone and go, I don't want to talk to mom or dad or aunt so-and-so. All of that gets you stressed again, and it can cause you to do one of two things. Usually people who get highly stressed can't find that sweet spot in the middle, so they either avoid and go back into their turtle shell, or they overreact and act immediately on the spot and pick up the phone and they call aunt so-and-so, and they're elevated levels of all the stress hormones are so high that you don't handle that conversation well. So calm down. And one of the things that works well with couples who are good teams is talk to your partner. Calm it down. Have them help you. The other thing you can do is, on a scale of 1 to 10, how high is your stress? Rate it so that you can get some kind of an objective view outside yourself as, gee, where am I on my stress level?
It's interesting you mentioned the relationship aspect and talk about it. I know we've talked about this before, and it's interesting. And you talk about some of the stress busters for dealing with disagreements. Yes. And the one, it starts off with pick a calm time to talk. Do we make that mistake frequently when we decide we just it's the wrong time to talk? You really need to be in the right state of mind before you're going to start talking intelligently about a problem.
Timing is everything. And one of your first steps is the one I just recommended. Say to yourself, on a scale of 1 to 10, how high is my stress level, with 10 the highest? That will give you that other view as to what I am doing right now. Where am I? What do I need to do? And how stressed is your partner? Because you want to pick a moment, if you have a partner, when it's a good time to talk to him or her. So lay your groundwork. Make sure the ground isn't moving from under you. That's what you want to start with. The next thing you want to do is give your partner a number from 1 to 10 as to how stressed you feel and how important the conversation is. If your stress level is a 3 and the conversation and the issue you have to resolve is a 4, you can say to each other, look, if we don't have time to do this now, let's schedule time on the weekend. But when you signal your partner what you need and where you are, it helps both of you decide whether this is a good time.
And you talk about the fact that when you're dealing with this, you don't use sarcasm and you don't just get up and walk out of the room. You really need to stay there and to have a rational discussion, don't you?
Yes. You know, if I were asked what are some of the really big no-nos that are like love killers in relationships, walking out of the room, slamming doors, hitting, throwing, being sarcastic, calling your partner names, getting critical and fighting back, and most importantly, denying that you have any part in this. Denial is so potent and so aggravating. So those are some really, really big no-nos. When you do sit down to talk with your partner, one of the things that helps a lot is get some physical contact. Let your knees touch or your legs or put your arm around each other, hold hands. It's harder to get nasty when you're in touch.
Let's say that you've had a disagreement, you decide you're going to sit and talk. How do you manage your expectations when you sit down to talk? I know you've talked before about not everything gets resolved like right away. Sometimes do our expectations get in the way when we think, okay, we're going to set aside 20 minutes, she'll agree with me, it'll be all over with and life goes on. Doesn't necessarily work that way, does it?
No, and you have to get out of right and wrong. Look at yourself as a team, as a two people who are on the same page, which is solve a problem. So one of the things I recommend to do that keeps the stress level down is don't play history. You said that, you used that tone. No, I didn't. You misheard me. I didn't mishear you. I heard you talk like that. Stop that. I call that history, because that takes you backwards. And remember, when you are stressed, your memory doesn't get encoded as accurately about what really happened. So when you say that someone said this or that, that may not be the way it really happened. I know that sounds odd, but that's often what happens to people. They misremember things. So sit down with your partner and say, let's move directly to solution focus. And that takes a great deal of teamwork. So what you want to do, instead of, you know, accusing each other, you say to your partner, this is really bothering me. What is your understanding as to why this might be bothering me? And that cues your partner to get into empathy mode, caring mode. And you can do the same thing when your partner has a problem, when he or she says, do you understand why this is getting me so stressed out? And you might say, yes. You've had problems with your boss in the past. Your boss reminds you too much of your critical parents or always comparing you to your sister or brother. So one of the things you want to do is demonstrate not just your concern for your partner, but your understanding of who they are and where they came from. Because anything that gets you going too much, not only is it related to what's happening in the here and now, but it's also happening to what happened in your upbringing with your family.
It sounds like a lot of what you're talking about is basically retraining the brain. How difficult is that to do?
Well, you're not only retraining your brain, you're retraining your own view of yourself. and your view of your partner and your partner's view of you. It's all that all at once, because there's really no such thing as the present moment, because it's the past going into it and the thing you want to do in the future. So you've got to get into a mindset that says, I am going to get in solution focus, not blame focus, not panic focus. And if you can't calm down, go for a walk, exercise, have sex. All those things will help calm you down and make you feel less anxious, assuming you're in a good relationship. The other thing you can do is get grateful. Take a step back and say, wait, is this the worst thing that can happen to me right now? Can I get a perspective on it? Can I get a sense as to whether I have to act on this right now? Because some things do, like medical emergencies.
Right.
So those are some of the guidelines to get yourself so you can focus, because, you know, those cartoons where something happens to Fred Flintstone and his feet go around and round in circles and he can't
yes.
keep going on, that's what stress does to you. You just run in place. So you want to find a way to calm down. And the bad ways of doing it are, of course, to procrastinate, eat too much, drink too much, go to bed right away and fall asleep all day long and all weekend long. Those, again, are your signs that you're not putting yourself in charge.
And you mentioned some of the harmful aspects of stress. Stress can really get you in a bad place, can it, where you're really making bad decisions, and maybe all it takes one bad decision and your life is totally altered.
Yes, you know, making a decision for the sake of making a decision can be helpful. Hey, let's just decide something. But good stress decision makers regard that decision as tentative. Bad stress decision makers just say, let's just make a decision and do it, as opposed to taking the time to go through the lower level of anxiety that accompanies open-endedness. And remember, keep a focus more on what you are doing rather than what you are feeling. Most of us get caught up in how anxious we feel rather than what we are doing to solve something. Once we get task-oriented, the anxiety tends to go down. But the more you say to yourself, oh my God, my heart's beating, I don't know what to do, I can't stand this, the more anxious you get. So focus instead on doing something. And if you don't have a loving partner or a loving family member, get a buddy, get a friend. Arrange ahead of time. Will you be my anti-stress buddy? Will you be my stress buster? That's what you want to do. So you can call your friend or text them. It's even better to text in case you can't get them right away. I need your help. I need a stress buster tip. Give me a call.
Yeah, and you've said get solution oriented, and what you just said is really fits that. And what if you have a plan in place, it makes dealing with stress a whole lot better.
It does. And instead of regarding your stress as being only fear, regard it as something exciting, like going on a trip. People get anxious going on a trip, particularly to a foreign country or a place they've never been. Instead of seeing that as, oh gosh, I'm so anxious about this trip, look at it as, I'm really excited. Make yourself, I'm going to hold up another prop.
Yes.
This is a winning medallion. It says winner on it. Regard yourself as a winner who can solve problems instead of someone who gets stuck in the whirling, whirling, swirling. Once you change your mindset and say to yourself, stress feels rotten if it's too much. I'm not going to worry about how I feel. I'm going to be optimistic and I'm going to move towards solution. And if I need help with it, I will get those help.
As always, great information. Our guest on the program, back with us once again, Dr. Leslie Beth Wish. Her website is lovevictory.com. A lot of great information there, information on her books as well, a lot of great articles. And you can go directly to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on directly to Dr. Wish's website. It is always a pleasure to have you on the program. I've been taking notes, so hopefully this will help me deal with stressful situations in the future. Thank you once again for being with us. Looking forward to having you back on the program.
Well, thank you. And I want to leave one message to your listeners and viewers. If you go to my website, Love Victory, and sign up on the right, leave your email, you will get information about our intuition program that's coming up. One of the things I learned is that if you can train your love intuition, you can make better love choices, and you'll also get some gift books.
That is perfect. A lot of great information there. We will be back. I have Dr. Wish back with us on the program and talk more about intuition. A pleasure to have you on the program. Once again, our guest has been Dr. Leslie Beth Wish. The website, very simple, lovevictory.com. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and link on as well. You're listening to This Week in America. We're back right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.